Hi, everybody. Bob Claster here, and I'm your host for Funny Stuff, half an hour of comedy, which airs every Friday night at this time. And tonight we're going to be listening to highlights of the first Comic Relief show, which took place on March 29th of 1986. 2 weeks from tonight, we'll be listening to the highlights of Comic Relief 2. And in between, we'll be listening to an old interview I did with Mort Saul, which has never been aired at night. But right now, we're dealing with Comic Relief. Comic Relief was a, and I think still is, I think there's another show scheduled for New York, the next one coming up fairly shortly. But Comic Relief was a charity performance to benefit the homeless. The three hosts were Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg, and Robin Williams. You probably know all this, but the producer was Bob Zemuda, and some pretty terrific comedy took place there. And there's a record out on Rhino Records, there's a video, it's been shown on cable TV, and it's a charity. And so for further information about how you can help the homeless through Comic Relief, you can call 1-800-528-1000. I'll give you that number again at the end of the show, 528-1000. But at any rate, here are some highlights from the first Comic Relief, and we'll start off with the introduction with Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg, and Robin Williams.
What's happening? What's happening? Long time no see. No, Ma, I've been away. You know, I had to do a little time. You know, got caught in another neighborhood. But this is my new area. This is like a real hip place to live. You know, got a lot of good neighbors. This is my pad. It's a split level job, you know? Yeah, but it's good people here. You know, it ain't like real heavy. Yo, Montana, wake up.
I got it. Boy.
Come on, baby. Man.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah. Praise the power. Yes, Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, I'm so happy to be here. I could drop a log. I really can.
Just don't drop it on my lawn, mother.
You got it, man. Shoo, boy. Almost Easter, boy. Maybe Jesus is going to come back this time. He's not going to look like Ted Nugent. Yeah. Oh, boy, makes me proud to be American. Really does. I tell you, Ronald Reagan is a prince, that man is. I knew when I saw him on 20 Mule Team Borax, looking right into the sun, that man knew something we didn't. He did, really, boy, he did. I mean, I know the government took away my farm, but hey, they gave me some cheese. Shoot. I mean, I couldn't eat that caca, but I could build with it. I did, I made kind of a cheddar adobe kind of thing. It was incredible. I had a little breed for windows, Gouda doorknobs. Hey, boy, I love that place. I really did. Except came spring. Phew, you didn't want to stand downwind from our little home. Oh, boy, I miss it, though. Casa Velveeta. Till them rats came along. Hey, damn. Hey! Jazz man, time to come on out here, son. Come on out here. Praise the power. Yeah, hey! I'm on out, boy. I'm gonna try and find some work now.
Yeah.
Lord, you can't find good Caucasian help nowadays.
Yeah. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. Yeah, man. Man, I'm planning me a comeback. Yeah, see, I was a great sax player for a while, you know. My problem was I liked to drink more than I practiced. Yeah. Can you dig that? I knew that you could, yeah. And I tell you, you can leave the arrangements and the charts pretty quick, and I've been down here. See, but I'm planning to come back, yeah. I'm gonna be okay, man. My goal is to get me one of them car phones. Yeah, man, it'd be so nice to tune down Lassie Enega and be able to say, hold on, I'm going to park. Can you dig that? I knew that you could. Yeah, see, the other night, see, I was in the park and I did a concert. Oh, I was blowing, man, 4 hours. Every riff I knew, man. Man, I'm telling you, if I had had my horn, it would have been heavy. Yeah. So they come, they think, let's take the crazy cat to the hospital. So they take me there, you know, and they did me one of them brain scans and stuff. I tell you, the chart came out negative. They didn't find nothing. Can you dig that? I knew that you could, yeah.
This is just too fab. Just too fab. This is just stunning. I mean, I am so moved by where did you get this? Where did you get this?
I live in it.
You live in this? This is too fab, I tell you. I am here because I work at Bergdorf. I do all the windows. Yeah. And we... We have a new thing. We're trying to really appeal to people. We're calling it street person. Do you know what I'm saying? And this kind of getup, this kind of home area is just the perfect kind of
thing. Hey, Stanley.
This is
dig
just...
this,
have
man.
You been to...
Dig this! Ah, check it up! You ever been in an institution? You ever been in an institution?
Yes, I went to the Institute of Fashion Technology.
Fashion Technology! Whoa! No, I'm talking about three square valium a day. You ever do that where you all of a sudden go,
whoa, wow, too late, we're there.
Yes, as a matter of fact, I have. You see, I understand you people. I understand exactly what you're going through.
Oh, yeah, do you know what it's like to be a man hung like a bear?
Oh, but you see, I've been hung like a bear myself. You see, my home, I have bear heads, all kinds of heads. And when they redid that.
Yeah. No. You ever had enough current going through you? Yeah, buzz. You ever heard buzz? Yeah. I had so much electricity going through me, I could read by my testicles. You know what I'm saying? Hey, take a hike. Hey, bovine residue. Yeah.
Hey, Stanley, man, you wild. Why don't you do that when the cops is around?
Well, what do you think, I'm crazy? Come on! Get out of the way! Get away!
Yeah! I knew that you could. I'm telling you, you want to talk about crazy. Open up your paper. Put on your TV.
Well, what would this great country be without this great land of ours? You know, I was saying to the folks the other day, I understand what it's like to be homeless because many of my friends are in escrow right now. And you know, that can really be a mother, if you know what I'm saying. Which reminds me of mothers. I saw Nancy yesterday putting on a Norma Kamali, and I said, Mother, you could either wear that or feed Cleveland. Won't you please help little baby Doc Duvalier and Ferdinand Marcus? Because we're trying to establish a thing called Club Fled, if you know what I mean.
Please welcome our friend Gary Shandling.
Thank you. So I really wanted to come on first so I could help seat you, of course, but they wouldn't let me do that whatsoever. I have a home. I feel guilty. Let me say that right off the bat. You're not supporting me in any way. If you see this number, I'm clear. I just moved into the valley because I have no reason to live. And I can't believe I actually own my own house. And so I'm looking at a house, and the realtor says, I look at a house like in Sherman Oaks, and it's like 100 grand. And he says, well, it's got a great view. Now, for 100 grand, I better open up the curtains and see breasts against the window, ladies and gentlemen. I don't want to see lights for 100 grand, you know. This is a wonderful cause. As you know, I belong to a group called Sex Without Partners, and it's not a pretty story, and I met a new girl. I have many things to talk about, and I have 2.5 seconds, so, because there's like 700 guys coming on, so I'm gonna go as fast as I can with this. I met a new girl at a barbecue, very pretty girl, blonde, I think. I don't know, her hair was on fire, but yeah, and all she talked about was herself. You know those kind of girls? You know, I'm hot, I'm on fire, me. You know, Jesus Christ. Help me, put me out. Come on, could we talk about me a little bit? So I take her out, right? And those of you who have been out with me know I'm a jerk on a first date. And we go to this place, very dark, elegant, and, you know, she had a beauty mark on her cheek, and I swatted it. Oh, because, wait a minute, there was hair coming out of it. It looked like legs, you know. I said, there's something on your face, you know, and she started to bob and weave. I had to fake her with a right before I got her with a left. Because you're nervous on a first date, you know, and I'm calling her John Boy, and I'm trying to act cool. I'm ordering in French, and it's a Chinese restaurant, you know, and the waiter's going, why you talk like that? I'm going, come on, man, you know, and he looked at her and went, there's something on your face. I went, no. It's a permanent thing. Look like John Boy. So I get her out of there. All right, now, this is the good part. I get her out of there. I'm driving her home, which is when I start to wonder if there's going to be any sex and if I'm going to be involved, right? Because I hate sitting out. All right, I have a Porsche. I went from a Toyota to a Porsche. I didn't know what a tachometer was. You know, I thought I was doing 2,500 miles an hour. I looked at him and went, Jesus. Cop stopped me, said, you know how fast you were going? I said, 2,500 miles an hour. I can't believe it myself. It must have got away from me there. Because it is like a game show when a cop stops you, isn't it, for a speeding ticket? You know how fast you were going? 60, higher. 70, 65, 66, 67. 67 is it. What do we have for him, Bob? Here you go, pal. All right, now. I got a jaywalking ticket, but this is the dumbest ticket of all. I'm crossing Ventura Boulevard. Cop stops me, and they have no sense of humor. The cop says, you know, you crossed in the middle of the block, and I got to give you a citation. You know, I mean, it's the dumbest thing of all. I said, well, let me have this straight. Is this going to go on my record, or can I go to walking school and have this taken off? What's the deal? If I get three of these, do you take my shoes? What's the deal on this thing? Now. All right, so I'm driving her home. I get her home. I'm on the couch, I'm really getting into it, and she comes into the room. Because I'm warming up, you know, and... So now we start, we're on the couch, we're necking on the couch, I'm telling her I'm getting to do comic relief, I'm trying anything to impress this chick, and I put on We Are the World, figuring this would put her in the giving mood, you know, and all she's getting is hungry, which does me no good whatsoever. And my dog's watching, which puts a lot of pressure on you there, so... So now we're getting ready to have sex, and it's very awkward being a single guy with all the diseases around. You know what that is. It's to the point now I won't go to bed with a woman unless she says, all right, I'll go to bed with you. And that's pretty much where I draw the line. So all right, we get into bed because I said there's a gift under the pillow. I'd try anything. And we're spawning, and... I call it spawning because, you know, there's a lot of flopping around and gasping for air, and somebody from Greenpeace was trying to stop me there, and it went great. I'm great in bed. I don't never fall out. I have guardrails. I have a hospital bed. You know, I have a mirror over my bed, and on it says, objects are larger than they appear. Anyway, I gotta go. Enjoy everybody else. Thanks so much. Thank you.
Tonight, they're here for the reunion we've all been hoping for. The Masters of Merriment, whoa. Amyl nitrate, my heart's getting faster. Those princes of polka, Josh and Stein, the
Schmelder.
Come on, slow down.
Thank you very much. Oh, no, please.
Okay.
Please, we
thank
can.
You. No,
be
please,
fine.
Enough. Is
be
enough.
Fine.
Please, stop. Sit.
That's enough.
Come on, you. Stop it.
Big time, yes.
Big time.
Oh, this is
all
big
right.
Time, you know.
Okay.
You know, this is so exciting for Yash and myself to
where
be here this evening for a number of reasons. First, you know, this is the first time that Yash and myself have been on the West Coast, for one thing, in Los Angeles, California.
Uh-huh.
And I'll tell you, it's really something.
You know, because we're from the East Coast, you have Lutonia, really, you know, in a little town called Belbic. And there's, you know, such a difference between our hometown and Los Angeles, you know, it's almost funny.
Oh, yes, well.
It is funny, almost.
Not
real funny,
no.
But almost funny.
Not what we call a big yuck.
No, not the big yuck, no.
But enough for some chuckles, maybe.
Oh, sure.
You know,
always
for an example, let me just say, in Los Angeles, you know, the sun shines all the time, except for some isolated weeks in the winter. But
you know, and that's one difference.
That's one difference.
No.
Lutonia, the driving is so different also.
Oh, the driving.
Yes.
You know, not to mention the cops.
Oh, no, well, we can't forget the cops, no, and those differences there.
How could you forget those?
No, we can't forget those, no question about it.
But anyway, let's segue to this. You know, how many people out here, you know, north deep, deep, the great polka, cabbage rolls and coffee polka?
Do we know that? Oh! Do we know that?
We sold some albums out here.
We sold some records there. It's what we call in the polka music business as audience participation number. Well, you're the audience gets to participate in the song.
And if you don't feel like participating, you know, you don't have to, because, like, no one's going to be holding, you know, a finger or a gun to your head, you know, like they do back in Lithuania.
No, well,
they
do back
quite
there.
Quite a bit there.
Back there, you have to participate, whether you like
you
it or not.
To, yeah,
no, but
sure.
But we still have fun.
But,
yeah. But in the cabbage rolls and coffee polka, there are four places where you are invited to participate. When Yash and myself go in the song, we go 2, 3, 4. We want you to say
cabbage rolls and coffee.
Can we try that one time, please? 2, 3, 4.
Cabbage rolls and coffee.
Not bad.
That's
okay.
Not bad, you know.
Good,
but
you know.
You know, if it don't go in the rhythm of the song, the whole thing, we could look pretty bad up
pretty
here
bad,
ourselves.
Yeah.
Because no, it backs up.
Give it
in
a good
the
shot,
of
you
the
know.
Song. So let's try it one more time. 2, 3, 4.
Right.
To which me and Yash will respond,
good.
Okay.
It's a good song. You'll love this. Now we do
that. Martin Short, Harold Ramis, and Catherine O'Hara.
Hello. Oh, hi. I'm Mo Green, personnel manager.
I'm Barbara O'Leary.
Thank you for waiting, Barbara.
That's fine.
I have one other applicant for this job. I'd like to interview you at the same time, if you don't mind.
No, that'll be fine.
Good, good. Yes?
The other applicant is here.
Please send him in.
Oh, oh, for you.
Barbara O'Leary?
Yes, my name's Ed Grimley. It's very pleasant meeting you, must say.
Why don't you take a seat, Ed?
All right, please.
Oh, gee.
That was sad.
Well,
I assumed that was closer, and yet it wasn't.
Wow. That'll happen, Ed. Now, as you know, the job you're applying for requires advanced accounting skills, perhaps even some actuarial experience. Starting pay is $35,000 a year, plus fringe benefits and profit sharing. Now, Barbara, maybe you'd like to begin.
All right.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about your educational background?
Well, I have my bachelor degree in mathematics from Columbia University, and I have my master's in business administration from Stanford.
Oh, Columbia and Stanford, very impressive.
Thank you.
Ed, how about your education?
I have completed a portion successfully of my high school education, I must say.
Yes?
I had planned to go further, but unfortunately I was felled by mononucleosis for about 2 or 3 years.
Oh, that can be rough, Ed.
Oh, it was sad, but I have rallied now, and that is good news, so I'm planning to take some nice school correspondent courses.
Maybe an accounting course.
That would be a good one.
That would be good. Barbara, maybe you could tell me a little bit about your work experience now.
Oh, certainly. Well, during graduate school, I worked for 2 years as a management intern with the Bank of America. And for the last 2 years, I've been a cost analyst with the San Diego firm of Dewey, Cheatham & Howe.
Very impressive. That is impressive, isn't it? Now, Ed, how about your work experience?
Well, for the past several years, I've been employed by the Union Oil Company.
Really? In what capacity, Ed?
I work at Al 76 at the corner of Quang and Melrose. You know? It's a very nice gas station with a car wash on the side.
Oh. any management or accounting experience?
Oh, you better believe that. Because, like, Al is the funniest guy, very nice, roundish, and he goes, like, completely mental over fishing, you know? He does that. It's like a joke how he gets. So every year, Al wants to go fishing. Okay, fine. He'll go for about 4 weeks. One time he went for a month. Al's like that. It's funny.
That is a long time,
Ed. Oh, you better believe that. No question. So, okay, but like when Al's away, who's gonna take care of the station but me?
Right.
Okay, fine. But like the day goes on and that happens, but then it's like at the end of the day, and I have to take all the cash and like put it in a bag, you know? It's like a bag with a zipper, I must say. And then I have to take the bag to the bank where I put it in kind of a slot, you know?
Yeah.
It's hard to explain really other than it's like kind of a slot, you know?
Kind of a night deposit slot.
It's like a slot, you know?
So... So when Al's away fishing, basically you're in charge of handling the night receipts, is that...
When Al is fishing, I often find... What was the question?
When Al's away, you're in charge of the gas station.
All right.
Well, now I have to tell you both. I have to tell you, I've interviewed hundreds of people for this job. You two are far and away the finest and best qualified people I've seen.
Oh, that's wonderful.
In fact, your credentials are so equal in a way, I don't know who to choose. I don't know how to decide even.
Well, how about an arm wrestle?
Good idea.
Well, that's good.
One, two, three, go.
I don't think you're a credential. No, that's not fair.
Well, two out of three.
That's
then,
true. Oh. I won! Give me a break, that's too exciting!
My heart is beating like an inconsistent jungle drum, you know?
Congratulations, Ed!
Oh.
Excuse me, Mr. Green, please tell me you're not serious.
Well...
You can't seriously be hiring this fluke of nature over me. No offense.
No, it's fine, I get that quite a bit.
This is some classic kind of case of discrimination, but I it couldn't possibly be male chauvinism. There aren't any men in this room. Well, I'm not going to cry. I'm not. I'm going to go directly to the Board of Labor, and I'm going to report both of you. You, Mr. Green, can take your job and put it somewhere painful. And you, Mr. Gribbley, you're in my prayers.
Oh, yeah? Well, it's going to take more than a good body and a sexy attitude to get a job around here, lady. Jeez, what got into her? Did you hear that?
Yes, I did. I have no idea. Well, maybe she's getting her period. It's difficult to...
Could be, Ed.
It's difficult to always know.
Let me buy you a drink, huh?
Oh, that'd be very pleasant. Let's go.
I'm so happy to be here, folks. Had a thing happen to me at the airport. I had three pieces of luggage. I said, I want this piece of luggage to go to Cleveland, I want this piece to go to Toronto, and I want this piece of luggage to go to Miami. He says, we can't do that as you did it last week. The food on the plane was fit for a king. Here, king, here, king. A lot of poor people around. A fellow walks up to me and says, I haven't eaten in 2 days. I said, you should force yourself. I feel good. I'm so happy to be here. Incidentally, they're supposed to make a picture. We're trying to find material to find a picture. I've had a couple of scenes submitted. I want to see if you like them. Now, in the first scene, we see a barber shop in a little town. A man walks up to the barber. He says, how many ahead of me? The man said, five, and the man walks out. All week he longs this. How many ahead of me? Five, he walks out. At the end of the week, the barber says to the shoeshine boy, follow that guy, see where he goes. Comes back, he says, go see your house. Now in the next... I don't get it. Now in the next scene... In the next scene, we see a guy has a headache, and he complains to his friend, I got these awful headaches. His friend said, why don't you do what I do? When I get a headache, I put my head on my wife's bosom for a half hour, and the headache goes away. He calls him the next day, how do you make out? I did what you told me. You know, you got a nice apartment. Two little Jewish ladies in the Bronx, one said, do you see what's going on in Poland? The other one said, I live in the back. I don't see anything. Two guys in the gym, one's putting a girdle on. A friend said, since when do you wear a girdle? Since my wife found it in the glove compartment of my car. We're going down memory lane tonight, folks. I'm so glad to be here, really. There are two guys meet once. You look so bad. What's the matter with you? Say, I lost three wives in the last 3 months. What happened? My first wife died from eating poison mushrooms. What happened to your second wife? She died from eating poison mushrooms. What happened to your third wife? Fractured skull. How come she wouldn't eat the... I love this crowd. Now, in the last scene, I'm sitting at a bar having a drink. Over here's a man having a drink. He falls down three times. I pick him up each time. Bartender, you know where this man lives? I'll give him a lift home. He tells me where he lives, grab the guy, pull him down to the car, open the back door, put him, and he falls down. I get to the address they gave me. I pull the man out of the car. He falls down three more times. I pick him up each time. I knock on the door. Mrs. Welzer, I brought your husband home. She says, where's his wheelchair?
Anyhow, there you go. Those are some highlights from the first Comic Relief show featuring Billy Crystal, Whoopi Goldberg, Gary Shandling, Eugene Levy, John Candy, Catherine O'Hara, Martin Short, Harold Ramis, Henny Youngman. I'm sure you recognized all the voices. Next week's show was supposed to be a preemption. Oh, before I forget, the phone number for donations and information about Comic Relief is 1-800-528-1000. So anyway, next week's show was supposed to be a preemption. And the part two of Comic Relief, the second Comic Relief show, was scheduled for 2 weeks from tonight. We've decided to leave that the way it is. During next week's time slot, I'll be playing an old interview I did with Mort Saul that never aired during the evening. And so you'll get a chance to hear that next week. Let's see, the address, Bob Claster, KCRW, 1900 Pico Boulevard, Santa Monica, California, 90405. I'd love to hear from you. Please enclose a daytime phone number because I'm totally illiterate and cannot write at all. And that's about it. So until next week when we hear this old interview with Mort Saul, this is your host, Bob Claster. Thanking you very much for listening and reminding you to always keep that sense of humor well exercised because you never know when you're going to need it. Have a great week, everybody. Bye-bye.